B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just want to ask you, in your mind, at what point do you have to sort of transition here from the spirited quarterback competition to having a starter, giving them the majority of the reps, and getting them prepared for Miami and to be the starter throughout the rest of the year?
Yeah, I don't have a timetable on that, Chris, so can't tell you.
Do you feel like that's something that's coming up soon here as we get to the end of training camp? You'll approach that or make that decision at the end of training camp here?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure exactly how that'll go.
Okay, is this Black Flag doing Ain't Talking About Love?
No. When you hear the voice, you'll immediately know who it is.
Oh, yeah, I heard the news, baby. All about your disease. You may have all that you want to, honey. But I got something you need. Oh, yeah, they ain't talking about love. I love the
This is before they taught him how to sing. And early albums from this band are hysterical because, like, he's got no voice.
I have no idea.
It's a friend of ours.
Oh, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones?
Yeah. He just sounded like Cookie Monster in the early days. Like, there was no attempting.
But because they're what album is this off of?
I think is it their first one? I was about to say, it's the one with Plaid and the Bulldog on it, which is
But that had, like, very catchy hits on it.
But Dickie Barrett and some of the early stuff, I mean, you could tell that obviously after a while, either someone got to him or he was like, I'm going to actually try to sing. Those early songs, just him growling.
Yeah, that's not the one with Don't Know How to Party.
I don't think so. What was the...
That was the second one?
I think it might have been.
Big D and the Kids Table had a song I really like that they shot the video in Alston, and I put a clip of it up on Instagram, and everyone did not like it. I thought it was a good song.
Like Big D and the Kids Table?
Yeah, they have an album coming out in October. I support the local scene, man. Big D and the Kids Table are lifers, a legit ska band that have lifers.
I do give like those guys.
Give them some credit. Come on. They had Vespas and like hot. The girl, I'll tell you, if you get a girl to dress up like a ska chick, my wife will tell you, if you get a girl to dress up like that, oh my Lord, that's the one thing. with the scarf around your neck and everything.
Is that your thing?
My Lord. I'll tell you, you go up about 2 points. Because you can even cover up some shady areas with that.
It was 91 that the Boston's came out with that. It was the EP Where'd You Go?
They do
like Enter Sandman, Sweet Emotion. They do a bunch of covers on that too, something. Okay. There's something else as well. But
I don't think I had that. All right, Andrew Callahan is the Patriots beat writer, and I cannot wait. Andrew, I do not envy you for the next week and a half. I cannot wait to take a week off from... you got to track the throws and every other piece of crap that you got to do.
Well, that thing's kind of done.
The Boston media was getting a lot of credit from other beat writers that were at joint practices because they were like, dude, you guys are like tracking like every throw these guys are doing and stuff, and these dudes from other towns are like, we don't have to do that.
But Andrew, this is kind of sad.
Well, I do have to finish this. And he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Andrew, have you reached a point, honestly, have you reached a point of like, oh my God, just start the season?
I'm not there yet, but I'm close. Okay. And you guys played that clip from Chris Basper. That was the exact guy I was talking to yesterday, feeling, you know what? camp is over, and it would have been regardless of how I felt, but I feel ready for some real football.
Yeah, I definitely am. And all right, so trying to figure out okay, I'm going to ask you this first. Cam Newton, you know, returned and practiced with the first team and took the first team reps, but then the practice was divided in a way.
Both got first team reps.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, did you see anything to lean you in a direction, again, for the 500th time you've been asked this, but have you seen anything that leads you into a direction that Cam was in any way vulnerable to be the starter?
No, I don't think so. I mean, my biggest takeaway when you saw Cam come back from his five-day absence was really just Cam looked like Cam. You know, they warm up, he's dancing, he's singing, he almost looks slap happy out there, and then it's time for business. His drive, 4 of 7, you know, with a throwaway in there and a batted pass. So he was fine. He looked like he has for the most of camp. And so yesterday you couldn't go by the reps because basically they just said, look, you're going to have one drive, Mac will have one drive. And they split this weird 3 and out at the end. So Mac's drive just took a lot longer. That's why his reps were higher. But this was fairly standard from what we've seen, where someday Mac gets a couple more reps, someday Cam does too. But it's largely been pretty split the last 3 or 4 weeks.
All right, so I'll give you a theory, which I'm sure you've heard many, but this is a theory that seems plausible. You look at Mac Jones, you're out there, you see him. I think it was Giardi who had a quote at the beginning of camp that sounded like it came from somewhere within the Patriots, like they need to show Mac the way to the weight room. Do you think some of the insistence on Cam starting is based on the belief that it might be difficult for Mac Jones to get through a 17-game season, given the amount of football he's played in his
strength, lack of conditioning,
strength coming into the season.
Right.
No, I mean, look, I think a lot of people were driving that bus that Mac Jones should be introduced to a cheeseburger, you know, my friend Tom Curran and other people included. So, right. You know, that's, it would obviously behoove any of us to get in the weight room for a month or so and get a little bit better shape. But Mac Jones's job does not require that. And look, he was inspired as a high school kid and in college. And I wrote about this soon after he was drafted by Tom Brady's combine photo going, look, if that's the greatest of all time, I got, you know, 10 years to catch up to that, and I got the same body. So he's been fine. He got through the SEC, which is obviously not the NFL, but we all saw how many guys were coming out of his own team, let alone the rest of the conference in the draft. So, yes, of course, it behooved him to get in there, but, you know, he's fine pretty much the way it is. And obviously his conditioning will improve the longer he stays in the league.
Okay, so we talked to Bert this morning about the whole misunderstanding and what the misunderstanding was, whether it was on the Patriots side or whether it was on Cam Newton's side. And Bert's opinion seems to be there's no way that the Patriots didn't cross their T's and dot their I's. And there's no way that Cam Newton didn't understand the type of restrictions that are on leaving a camp and going out of town. That was the main thing. As he said, one of the biggest penalties for not being vaccinated was that essentially you're trapped in whatever city you're in. A lot of these guys live outside of the town anyway. So that's a big deal to them. Where is your head on that? Do you think this was just a massive F up from Cam Newton? Or do you believe that there is any liability on the Patriots side of this?
Look, I've tried to do my own reporting on this, so I don't have anything concrete as of yet. But I have to think between the two, as you mentioned, Bert referenced. If someone screwed the pooch, it was Cam versus the Patriots because he's the one traveling. Yes, they must have approved for whatever trip that was. And they just called it a club-approved medical appointment. So theoretically, this could have been an appointment, say, for one of his kids. Which, again, he doesn't get many off days, let alone really back-to-back off days last weekend. So maybe he goes down to Carolina and just screwed up that it wasn't a bioreference test, a specific company that the Patriots in the league hired to do these tests, and he took something else from, you know, I don't know, CVS or wherever you and I go. So obviously things were not great. You know, reports are coming out almost immediately from Giardi and other places that, you know, everything's not so hunky-dory in Foxborough. But I think they've largely passed that. It could impact Belichick's decision, but I don't think it will sway him one way or another. It'll be a lot more what Cam did in the field the last month or so.
All right, as things are wrapping up and the season is getting going, I'm going to ask you a very basic question. How good is this team?
I think this team is at least a 10-win team.
Good.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That means you'll more than likely make the playoffs.
Do you think 10 wins makes the... Well, it's a 17-game season now. Do you think 10 games makes the playoffs?
You know, it's tough because 10 games did not make the playoffs last year, right? When you
right.
had that big end and the Colts are in and the Dolphins are out. So it's tough to say. It sometimes depends on the year. You have 8 and 8 teams getting in, you know, every once in a while.
Well, but you I look think at the NFC East, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think for the Patriots, what they'll get is pretty much all you could ask for, is that going into December, you've got as good a chance as anyone based on the teams they're going to play before then and then who you have to face in December, because they've got two games against Buffalo, a solid favorite but not overwhelming favorite in the AFC East, and then it comes down to really Miami. So I think they're a little bit ahead of Miami. They're more well-rounded. But at that point in December, too, as we know, you have a wrong injury at the wrong spot and time, you know, you're screwed. Just ask Dallas last year.
All right, so there was some news that broke yesterday outside of course, the quarterback controversy. But, I mean, the Ravens trading Sean Wade, who was a pick in the, I think it was the fifth round yesterday, cornerback, Ohio State. What does that say to you about Stephon Gilmore?
You know, it's tough because, honestly, as much as we talk about the Patriots kind of overall being a covert operation down in Foxborough with everything they do, this Gilmore thing has been as quiet as anything I can remember trying to crack or even talking to other people on the beat. It's just been radio silence. So I think Sean Wade is an interesting player in that in 2019 at Ohio State, he breaks out as a star, projected first-round pick, stays in school. And in 2020, look, the year from hell for all of us, but especially him in the field, because he just gets roasted. And he still gets the All-American, because that's what happens in college football. You're good the year before. That kind of equity carries over into the next season. But he played mostly outside corner. It didn't go well. The Ravens have had him doing that since taking him in the fifth round, and it also hasn't gone well. So his best snaps come in the slot. And I think for the Patriots, this is insurance in that place, where Jalen Mills has had to kick inside with John Jones, who's been in and out of practice, got hurt yesterday. We don't know how long he's going to be out. So when you have to move Mills from the outside to the inside, obviously that depletes your depth on the perimeter. Where the Patriots now have Jawan Williams starting across from J.C. Jackson. Jawan Williams is a guy in the roster bubble. And I think they're kind of, you know, crossing their fingers that Wade can come in, play the slot, maybe a little bit of safety, put Mills on the outside, and you've at least got a decent outside corner pairing between him and J.C. Jackson.
Do you think that the Gilmore thing has anything to do with him actually being injured, or is this still contract negotiation?
You know, as of now, I don't think you can say. I would lean towards contract negotiation, and by keeping him on the PUP list, I mean, I guess you can't force the guy to take a physical. But, you know, this started because he was hurt. He still had a little bit of recovery to complete from his torn quad last December. But, you know, the timeline, even when you go back to those initial reports, is that he should be ready for the regular season. And, guys, we're barely, you know, 2.5 weeks away from the regular season now, so he should be fine. But I think, again, it behooves the Patriots to kind of give him that time and extend their window here, even if this trade for Wade might have been a way to kind of boost their leverage in the interim.
Yeah, because I guess Tuesday is what we heard is the day that the decision has to be made. So
Cut down day.
Yeah, so Tuesday is the day that they're going to have to – they're going to know if they're going to have him for the full season or not. So they're going to have to pony up or they're going to give him $7 million to play however many games. So what, 11 games, right? All right, or whatever it is, who cares? Andrew Callahan.
Quickly, Andrew, before we let you go, was slap happy the term that you had to somehow slide into our show this morning?
Look, guys, I got 5 in there, so I congratulate you on the one.
Four. Okay, what were the 5 words? Because I picked up that there were words that he was trying to insert into the show. I got a little whiff of that. And I know that last time I was trying to figure out which words they were. I heard slap happy. What were the other 4 that you snuck in there?
Yeah, so slap happy was courtesy of your colleague, Matt Doloff, who does great work there for the site. Then we had covert, behoove, I think I beat to death. We had hunky dory. And then pooch. So screw the pooch. That was an easy one, but that was courtesy of a good friend.
How did I not get hunky dory? Apparently, there was people like daring him to say certain words on the show.
Well, behoove is like a lame one.
Like, yeah, behoove is like, yeah, you can put the throw that
hunky dory. I give you credit.
That's a good one. And yeah, hunky dory is good. And slap
happy. I give you credit, Rich, for being on the ball and realizing that this was going on.
I was listening through it.
Andrew, we're going on vacation in 45 minutes. You could have come out here and just said the 7 dirty words that I wanted to notice.
Look, I had one left over that, you know, was a way to work in from Wednesday, because this is a little Easter egg game we play on Twitter. And it was salacious, courtesy of my guy Zach Cox at Nesson. And it was just to say that.
These are bad words.
Like, yeah, salacious and behoove.
Like, bad words.
You need good ones.
Like hard ones.
Yeah, like humdinger. Like, that's a good word. Like, that's one that.
Weisenheimer.
Right. Stuff that's not normally used in a regular conversation.
Yeah. Behoove and salacious.
Scallywag. Yeah. You know, like things like that.
Yeah.
All pirate terms next time.
Look at the long season. Yeah, there's a little bit of a theme there. I mean, I got camel toe, toe. So I kind of saved you guys from that. So yeah, I don't
you
know
said camel toe?
Well, so no, he pointed now that I didn't use it.
Yeah. He just said camel toe. That would have been impossible to get in.
Oh, no. Yeah. You like that? It's like, I mean, he threw it right at the camel toe.
No, that would have been impossible to get in. Yeah. That would have been because it's an all male sport. So that would have been if you would have gotten that in. That would have been like Wayne's World, where the Harry Shearer is just If you would have snuck camel toe in, I would have given you a lot of credit. All right,
the interview's still going now, but so I guess we're not counting that as number six.
You know what? Hey, sure, you said it. It's you made it into the interview. So yeah. So whoever needs to pay you has got to pay you. Pay
and,
up.
And you didn't say that you were doing it, Rich. Called it out, so you win.
There you go.
Under any scenario. All right, Andrew Callahan, thank you. Read him in the Boston Herald. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy vacation.
All right, thank you. Man. There you go. Yeah, I could use a week without this anymore. It's
going to be nice to step back and just let the story play out.
Because really nothing's happened.
And No. The last 48 hours, no, there's been plenty.
Yeah, but it didn't lead to anything, which is why I'm tuckered out. I mean, I'm all about these rookie quarterbacks. I think this quarterback class is fascinating and has the potential to. They all have the potential to be good,
and so many of those teams have the potential to ruin these guys too.
That's the only teams that I think would ruin the really. And I'll be completely honest with you. Put me in a lie detector. Is Burrow in Cincinnati and Lawrence in Jacksonville? And Lawrence,
the Chicago situation isn't great.
It's
either.
Not great, but it's a competent coach. It's the problem with Nagy. It's Nagy in Chicago, right? The problem right, with yeah. Nagy is that he ideally would not have to win now to keep his job, given his roster. But it seems like he does. So he's in a situation where he might have to do things to protect himself that aren't in the best interest of the team in the long term.
Sure.
So that would concern me there. I'm really not concerned about Wilson in New York because there's literally zero expectation.
I'm not either, and apparently he's handling it well.
And that offensive line is fine. So,
but the Lawrence thing, keep your eye on that.
Well,
man.
Urban Meyer, I don't know what they sometimes it's just these corporations and like I'm smarter than them and I'm not a smart person. But like of all the times to take a chance on a guy who's never coached in the NFL, why?
Right.
When you're given Elway. Luck, Lawrence. There's a trinity. I'm going back to what, 83? Elway, Luck, Lawrence. You've got one of those guys over the span of how many decades? Four decades. You've got one of the three. And you take a guy that's never coached in the NFL before.
And it's not like people didn't want that gig. Oh, the chance to work with a guy like that, as you said.
Well, then Khan.
Although, Khan did F up and say that he wanted some sort of control. Yeah, I mean, but, you know.
But people wanted the job. People wanted the job that normally would not have wanted that job. But they got no offensive line. I have no faith that Urban Meyer is going to stick this thing out. And, it's a worrisome situation. And the Bengals are just a disaster. They own that team, and they nickel and dime that thing is amazing to me. Well, I mean, you're a billionaire.
By the way, speaking of quarterbacks, they just made an announcement that, and this pertains to the Patriots because week three they'll be seeing him, Jameis Winston, your QB1. I guess I watched a little bit of that last game, and he was excellent.
Well, there's talk now, and people are getting ahead of themselves, and they're saying Sean Payton is the quarterback guru, and look for Jameis Winston to maybe have a pretty good year.
I'd love that. I would love to see Jameis, because, I mean, think about it. Think about those games where he was like, he would, you know, throw for four touchdowns, and then he would throw for four or five interceptions.
It's like 30 picks that they
had. Right. Like, imagine if you could just cut down his interceptions by, like, a half. It would still be awful, but at least that would make him a somewhat competent quarterback in the NFL.
There's no reason physically he shouldn't be able to do it. All right. Before we leave you, I've been told we have something that needs to be played.
Okay.
It's very similar to what we've been doing, but
we're going out with a literal bang.
We will be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
These guys,
oh my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wake up. Grab a brush and put on a little makeup. Hide the scars and fade away that shakeup. Why'd you leave the keys upon the table?
You wanted to.
Why'd you leave the keys upon the table?
You wanted to.
Why did you leave the keys upon the table?
You said you wanted to.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide.
We were on a station that loved itself some Richard Cheese.
I love Richard Cheese.
Not like Sean Dunnery loved Richard Cheese. The Swingin' Velveeta Lounge in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right. He had that.
Sean Demery was built to do afternoons and built not to do mornings.
I know. I did hear the crossover attempt that they had at one point.
He was a great man. I loved him. But
I like Richard Cheese. Richard Cheese, remember we tried to reach out to him when we were doing the Meatballs in Manhattans to do the music for it?
What was he like? Did he ask for like $100,000 or something?
And,
or
and apparently he gets that. Yeah. Like, I guess he's got like a regular gig out in Vegas where he gets paid a ton.
Well,
Richard Cheese.
You know, it's better than hearing an acoustic guitar. I'd go to a bar where he was playing.
There's an album that he has that's all metal covers called Down with the Dickness, and it's great.
Yeah.
It's really, I mean, it's really good. And by the way, it's like, he's like a legitimate great musician too. Like, he's really good. Like, he's the one playing the pianos and all that. And his band is tight. But man, it's stuff's funny as hell.
I gotta Google in my own time what chop suey is actually about. I have no idea what that's.
I'm sure
about.
It's about government oppression. It's or about something like that.
He's very into the Armenian oppression, the oppression of the Armenian people. All right, so farts are not oppressed when it comes to the NFL on ESPN. Here is Mark Spears. We played this earlier.
So we had a fart card earlier in the show.
Yeah, but I'll just play. For you. This is Mark Spears on NFL Live.
Very good. I think they got the people to do it, but that will be a focal point for their offense.
Teddy Bridgewater is the 10th starting quarterback in Denver since Peyton Manning, and I wouldn't be shocked if we end up seeing Drew Lock at some point, too.
Hello. So you might have- and so Mark Spears blows a huge fart.
Okay. And then we found out, people start saying, hang on. He's a repeat fart vendor. He's like somebody who does this all the time.
And
he keeps TV.
It's like a series, like the Zodiac Killer. He just keeps getting away with it. Like no one acknowledges these things.
We're finally bringing him to justice. Apparently.
That fart again. I won't break it down again. But that
we
fart
start
is
talking about where would Aaron Rodgers fit in? I mean,
like that's another time.
Yeah, but the one we just played is like a high fiver. That's like all right. That's just like all right. Here we go.
So we've been told that this is something he's normally done, as you heard that clip there, and then we just played the second one where he's with Greenberg.
We start talking about where would Aaron Rodgers fit in?
I mean, he just continues to fart with reckless abandon. And then, apparently, there's even more of Marcus Spears. Now, I have not heard this one either, so we are all hearing this together, so let's take a listen.
Spears was going to win a championship when Kevin Durant signed. Didn't Bill Russell
That's
win
not applicable
10 of them?
To the fifth,
didn't win the Lakers
to the Bulls?
When the Lakers...
Stop it. Whoa. Someone popped a Macy's Day balloon. He's like,
when the Lakers put their team together.
Whoa.
his favorite David Bowie and Queen song is Under Pressure.
He's shocked if we end up seeing Drew Lock at some
Apparently he's gained a little weight since that first clip. Sorry. Let me hear this.
Didn't Bill Russell
that's
win?
That's not applicable
10 of them,
to the
Didn't win the Lakers
to the Bulls?
When the Lakers put their team together, did we not know when they got Shaq that they would win a championship? Championship?
Sounds like he farted at the end, too.
No! That's not applicable to the Bulls.
Didn't win the Lakers
to the Bulls?
When the Lakers put their team together, did we not know when they got Shaq that they would win a championship?
Sounds almost like he farted at the end, too. My goodness gracious, Mr. Spears.
Did you hear him, like, hold his diaphragm?
Yeah.
As he was out that last one. I was like,
yeah. He's got, like, an issue that like, he can't get fired for it. Like, when he signed, they're like, he's got, like, a medical condition. He's like, I got a fart, like, all the time.
When the Lakers...
And a word came out of it. It was like a flower. It bloomed into a word. It was like the fart turned into to letters.
His takes were so, his takes were so scorching.
It's like he's giving birth to a word through a fart.
When the Lakers...
We've had bigger farts. But I don't know if we've had better ones.
Well, no, this one is the king.
And I wouldn't be shocked if we end up seeing Drew Long at some point.
That one is just clear the decks.
Or is this one?
We start talking about where would Aaron Rodgers fit in? I mean, it's,
or would it be
when the Lakers?
I mean,
every time he seems to be ramping up is when the air pushes down and his body tightens. But those are all mistakes.
He's the Led Zeppelin of farting in that he has mastered so many different musical styles.
Well,
it's like you've got the heavy metal one, and then you've got like the Jamaica fart, and then
you start talking about where would Aaron Rodgers fit in,
and then you've got the blues fart.
When the Lakers,
so it's like he's a master of all different tones and tastes of farts.
All right, well. Congratulations to Marcus Spears. How this has not taken over the media is really,
well,
especially in the Me Too movement.
That's
I don't
what
know
we're
how
here,
this
that's
has not
for,
has
yeah.
not raised. I mean, good luck hosting Jeopardy with these kind of farts in your background.
So now I'm gonna do my dance.
Break, y'all. Look at that bass
crew right here. Yeah. Just the stupidity of this show is really something to behold. How will you all get along 5 days without us? That might be the dumbest thing we've ever done.
When the Lakers...
That Humpty Dance thing might be the dumbest thing we've ever done.
We got
fucking orange juice.
What?
That's Paul Stanley. Why are you?
I don't know.
Mark Spears' fart was so deep that it melted our computer malfunction.
Hi, everyone's taking Amel. Everyone's loosey-goosey. Papa's for everyone.
We start talking about where would Aaron Rodgers fit in. I mean, it's...
If I had to rank them,
his ass is writing checks that his mouth can't cash.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you had to rank them, let's be honest. If you had to rank them, I mean, there's one Rich that he just exploded. He just laid a giant fart. I mean, an average man, you get like a half dozen of those in your lifetime.
Right.
Like a normal guy.
And then you die.
Like, no, like you get like a half dozen of those and you hope people are around. Like that, those are the ones that, you know, you wish you got when you were 12. And he was on live television. They didn't even acknowledge it. It's really a crime against humanity. All right, Rich. What's going on?
Well, now I'm gonna
do my boy. I mean, really.
Look at that bass
crew
right here.
So dumb.
When the Lakers...
Uh-huh.
send that one to the Marconis.
All right. There you go.
Take that, free beer and hot wings.
Yeah, well, the people might be changing their mind. All right. What is coming up?
I have
Rich?
A fun game for you, Fred.
Okay.
There has been someone who went through and collected the times when celebrities bragged about how many people they've slept with.
Ah.
We are going to play a game of over-under. I will give you the celebrity.
Okay.
And you tell me the number that they have bragged about sleeping with.
Okay. All right.
We got athletes, we got actors, and even members of your favorite show, Jersey Shore, Fred.
Yes. Especially Vinny. I'm not happy about that. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right, Rich, what is going on?
Okay, so over the years, there have been many celebrities who have revealed how many people that they have slept with to the public, but there is a gentleman online who was doing God's work and actually compiled them all into a total list about who is sleeping with how many. And so I have here, Fred, 12 different names.
Okay.
And McCone, you can play along right, as well, perfect. Too. So we're just going to play who can be closest without going under. I guess if we're doing that, then we've got to do that, right? Isn't that the closest without going under theme?
Sure.
All right. I will give you
without
the name.
Going over, you mean.
Now, once again, this is not, I mean, I know there's no way to actually, you know, figure out whether they're telling the truth, but this is what they have bragged.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Also think about like who they are and whether they would.
Like how stupid they are.
Yeah, sure. How stupid.
Because one measure of intelligence is truly the ability to lie believably, because, oh boy, have I heard some doozies.
All right. Let's start with Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom, the star on the Los Angeles Lakers. Was he married or just dating a Kardashian for a while?
They might have been married.
They were too, yeah.
Chloe. They might have actually gotten married.
He was with Chloe.
That's right, yep.
The least desirable of all the Kardashians. He, let's see, high school phenom.
Yep. Mm-hmm, yep.
So you figure he got laid a lot in high school, then he went to the University of Rhode Island, where there's just who can stop. And then I wonder if he got paid to go there. And then he's like big drug guy and was into prostitutes. I am going to say he has put the number at 2,500 women.
Yeah, it's definitely an inflated number. I'm gonna go 1,000 though.
Remember, he lived in a brothel. He was.
Oh yeah, didn't they find him? I think
it was the one in not Reno. What's the city that's outside of Vegas? That's not Vegas. It's like about like 40 minutes away.
Lake Tahoe?
No. I forget what the name of it is, but it's the one where, what's his name? The guy who, the Bunny Ranch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he lived there for a little bit. Remember, they found him all like coked up or drugged up. I don't know if it was coke.
Right.
But Lamar Odom has said over 2,000 women. Freddie T, you went over, but still, it was close enough. He said, I'm a sex addict. There were too many strippers to count. He wrote that in his memoir, Darkness to Light. Now,
because anything over a certain amount is just like, I mean, this is, I mean, it's gross.
If you play in the NBA, Fred, do you think that on any night that you wanted to, you could have,
1,000%. But the thing is that you don't always, you got to be careful. You don't always have access to like someone you would necessarily want to sleep with. There's like times where you would just be like, leave me alone.
Well, Fred may have an advantage to this next one because
I was really wrong about this the first time it was mentioned.
So I'm going to ask McCone first. Vinny from the Jersey Shore, how many has he bragged about sleeping with?
He's going to go way over two, so I'll go 2,500 for this one.
Okay, because I was really wrong because this
wasn't
this,
his whole sales point was that he was kind of the good guy, kind of mama's boy.
Well, he had like these anxiety issues, and he was like really into his mom.
It was
like,
the situation. He was the one who was like apparently the most promiscuous, right?
Him or Paulie. But and the thing is, though, that not the situation. Married his high school sweetheart.
Oh, I did not know.
but the thing about Vinny is he is paid such a paltry amount compared to the other people because he sucks so bad.
Well, what about Ronnie? Ronnie can't get paid anything, right?
Yeah, like Ronnie, like they got Ronnie by the balls because he's like got 85 cases on him.
They're very small, but judged by the body type.
J-Wow, like Snooki and Paulie D like break the bank, but like and J-Wow makes a lot, and then like the and situation makes some money now, but like they pay Vinny like you know a sandwich. I'm gonna say Vinny. I mean, Vinny's probably 35. I got this way wrong before. I was way under. I'm gonna say he said 1,000 women.
1,000 is absolutely on the nose correct. Ding, 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 ding. You know your Jersey Shore.
Well, because, but there's no way.
The show came out when? Like 2005 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
When it first started.
Yeah, so you do club appearances. Plus, he's had to have dated a girl like that he was at least semi-faithful with. When you're running through like 100 women a year, I mean, you're having sex with a different woman every 3 days. Like, even if you're in a quasi relationship, like it's difficult to like,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, like you're at home sometimes.
All right, Fred, Gene Simmons.
Oh, Gene Simmons is it's under 10,000, but it is very, very high. I'm going to say Gene Simmons is. I am going to put the number at 5,000, and I'm guessing it's higher than that.
I think he probably says something like, "What was it?" Will Chamberlain said like 10,000.
He said 10,000.
I'm going to say he says 10,000 too.
Fred, you know, you said 5,000, 4,800 is okay. What he says. He said, quote, I didn't do drugs in the crazy times, but I did do sex. Did I sleep with 4,800 women? So they tell me. I did have the Polaroids to prove it. Oh, yes.
Yes. Can you imagine if you had that nowadays? If you took a Polaroid of every chick? So the best story about Gene was from a roadie, and Gene like is with this like ugly chick. And he's like going up to his room, and the next day the roadie goes to him like, "Gene, why were you with this chick?" And he goes, "You can't have steak every day. Sometimes you're hungry for a hamburger."
It's one of my favorite Gene Simmons stories.
And I believe Gene Simmons' number.
You think that's an accurate number?
Well, he's just turned 72. I mean, let's say he was banging. He had that sex tape, which is the most depressing thing of all time.
When they played, I want to know what love is.
Yeah, it's just the girl, like, hesitantly mounting him. It's really a funny sex tape because neither of them want to be there. And the girl's hot.
Listen, I've never seen anyone just less energetic.
Yeah, Gene's like, I'm laying here.
I'm doing nothing.
Like, Gene does nothing. He just lays there. So, like, he doesn't even look like the bad guy. And you can tell she doesn't really want to do it either. And it just like kind of happens, but it's not like Gene's an eager beaver there.
By the way, somebody to my point said, "You guys said being in the NBA gets you laid," and they sent me a picture of Kelly Olynyk. You know, so.
Yeah, I still contend Olynyk has more trouble than you'd think.
All right, Charlie Sheen, how many people has he bragged about sleeping with? This may be a question that we asked him when he was in studio.
I'm sure we did. I mean, they probably asked him during his freakout time. 7,000.
No. I'm going to go 1,500.
1,500? Charlie Sheen has said if you wanted me to take a wild guess, I would say 5,000.
Okay.
5,000. Which, think about that. Just if you start realistically breaking down that there's only 365 days in the year, I mean, that is having sex every day for 15 years with a different person for 15 years every single day.
And he was married, and again, like, he probably cheated on his wives, but the thing is that, like, not every day. Like, right. You went on a vacation, and then he'll go, well, there were orgies, and you go, well, how often?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, these are inflated numbers, but nonetheless. And also, the older I get, like, the less cool it seems.
Right, it just seems like a hassle.
Yeah, because, like, once you hit, let me tell you, at least for me, like, once you hit, like, 44, like, who cares? like, it's just, like, you might as well not have a penis.
Oh, no. Hang on. I got to stop doing this for a second. Just real quick, because there's...
Yeah, okay.
Just get ready to see a certain midday show host, ex-quarterback, getting a lot of ats on Twitter. There is a, I haven't even read the article. All I've seen is the headline. TMZ has just run an article that says, ex-Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak says Cam Newton, he believes rap music is hurting Cam Newton's game. I will read you the article.
He's
going to get murdered today. I mean, just get ready.
Oh, God.
It says ex New England.
All right, hang on a second. Let me talk to Scott real quick.
Okay, you want me to read it first before that?
Yeah,
okay,
you don't have to because no one else will.
I know. No one else is going to read this. Going to read the headlines. Here it is.
He's gonna get killed and people are going to say he should be fired. Go ahead.
Ex New England Patriots quarterback. It says ex New England quarterback Scott Zolak urges Patriots to turn off rap music, says Cam Newton is, quote, distracted by it.
Okay, so what he's probably was at camp, they were blaring rap music and he was joking around.
Yep.
And so, obviously, Scott wasn't saying rap music leads to some kind of, you know, it's nonsense.
So, here's, and they have the Zolak's quote, and if you read it, you're like, oh, okay. But, of course, that's not the headline. So, it says, former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak says his former team should turn off the rap music at practice, explaining he believes the tunes are hurting Cam Newton's game. And then they wrote, seriously. It says, Zolak, who played for New England from 92 to 98, was reporting for Pat's camp Thursday when he made the wild claim, saying that he believes Cam is straight up distracted by rap songs that blare over the speakers during the workouts. And the quote was, they have underneath it, someone had tweeted it, the quote actually is, I'd turn off the rap music first of all because I think it's distracting for Cam. In between every throw, he's dancing. So they're saying that he's dancing around and that's like the part of it. He said, he can't help himself. They said the 53-year-old signal caller then...
He
says the stark difference between when compared to Patriots backup Mac Jones, who said he looked like he came to work again, like he's here to work and everything is attention to detail.
Okay, well,
but again, Zolak said that's Cam's style.
Okay, so what's going to happen is he is going to be called racist by everyone. There will be reporters from like whatever Deadspin's become now that are going to go off on him and it's going to suck. For a weekend, and they're going to go through everything you've ever tweeted, and it's going to be on the news, and it's not fair, and it's completely out of context. And I know exactly, I didn't hear it, but I know exactly what he was at camp, and they were blaring music.
Right, and he was saying he makes a throw, and then he dances. The music's still cranking here. I know you can hear it faintly in the background.
He's going to get annihilated. And it sucks, but Scott, they're not going to do anything to you here because you didn't do anything wrong, so just hang tight. And don't react to it. I've been there. Oh, boy, have I been there. But this is going to be a whole, you're racist, and this old white guy, and this and this and that. And I know, and you know, and the audience knows, that's absolutely not what he meant. But that's bad. And it sucks. It sucks that they chose that headline, too.
Well, of course.
Because no one's even going to bother reading the article.
No. Sure. I mean, the headline is, former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak says he believes rap music is hurting Cam Newton's game.
Which they deliberately wrote in a way
for
you to go, oh, old white guy thinks that rap music, and this goes back to just the Malice in the Palace, when they said that you know, they were playing rap music. Oh, boy. Well... Scott, no one at Beasley is going to do nothing to you. You didn't do anything wrong, but you're lucky it's a Friday, and you're lucky it's the end of the summer, but you're also unlucky season hasn't started yet. So you've got 8 hours of this coming to you, and it's going to suck, but then it's going to go away. 8 hours of really sucking. And just, it's going to suck. And I tell you not to look at it, but you're going to look at it because you can't not. It's just something you can't not look at. But just know you are not, there's nothing anyone can do to you. Trust me. Ugh, I hate that feeling.
I just saw it. I was like, what's going on?
Well, you know how it is. It's happened to me. It's happened to me. Believe me. Mine was the opposite. I was the woke racial defender is what I, when I got attacked. I was the snowflake when I was attacked. So at least I have that in my column.
Yeah.
See, they're just going to go old white guy, racist guy on him. They couldn't do that to me. So I had that advantage. But yet, this culture hadn't shifted this much. Yeah, it's going to suck for him. He's got 8 hours of this sucking.
I reached out to Felger before and I told him, I go, you got 7 hours of this sucking. And he texted me back and he said, you were absolutely right. It was 7 hours. And so you got 8 hours. You're lucky it's Friday. Because if not, this would have gone all week. It would have gone all week. And then people would have reached out for comment. You can ignore all this and they'll forget about it by Monday. Lucky. Lucky. All right. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.